Hi, friends. Before we begin today's program, a quick note on this year's Summer Challenge. As you probably know, summer is usually the time of year with the lowest average giving for ministries. And that is true of Compassion Radio as well. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. Even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of amazing ministry and partnership with you, we're facing a budget deficit that we cannot ignore. So I'll ask you, can I count on you to make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us and to do it this month, this week, and yes, today. Thanks so much for all you do to help us reach out to the world through great partnership projects and to bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends, and thank you so much.
Today on Compassion Radio.
And they confronted them and they said, "What are you? You're either Hindu, you're Buddhist, you're Muslim, or you're Christian." And this young lady, she was the first one to become a follower of Jesus. Her response was, "We follow the living God." And before she could say God, he stopped her. And he forced her to say, "I'm a Christian," which ultimately she did. Well, as a result of that, this monk mobilized a mob of people, required one person from every household to participate, and they stoned this home that these people were in for 4 hours.
Welcome once again to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. I'm your host, Frank Montenegro. And on today's broadcast, Bram talks with Greg Kelly of World Mission, an organization that delivers the Word of God in audio format to oral listeners living in unreached people groups. You're really going to want to stick around for this one. Here's Bram with part one of that conversation.
Greg Kelly, it is a pleasure to see you once again and have another roundtable in some better weather compared to last time we sat down. It's a beautiful spring day here in Michigan. I'm thankful I had a chance to drop in on your table again and find out what God's been doing here and around the world.
Amen. Great to have you here, Bram, and welcome to Michigan. There are times of the year where it is beautiful. You found one of them.
Indeed, and I'm glad I'm here for it. What's been going on? You and I had a talk about stuff happening in Africa about the end of January. We never got around to doing that interview, but I know you've been other places since then.
Yes.
Just give me an around-the-world smorgasbord, if you would, of opportunities and new places that God's obviously opening doors that you've been able to go.
Well, April was a tremendous month for us. We had the opportunity to visit partners on the ground in Cambodia, Vietnam, Myanmar, Indonesia, and also our work in northern Kenya, which bleeds into Somalia. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of field time with our national partners. So World Mission, our model is we have about 30 national networks. And, you know, just a beautiful thing to go into places where I don't get the opportunity to spend a lot of time, but I'm always intrigued by Southeast Asia. Of course, Islam is represented there, Hinduism represented there, but it's the Buddhist countries that I spent the most of my time in. You know, a lot of times that's kind of the third wheel. You know, when we talk about missions, we talk a lot about Islam, and we talk a lot about Hinduism.
In today's military culture, the Buddhists seem to be almost the pacifists, but they've always been very aggressive in their kind of missional thinking as well. And so when you meet up with Buddhists in Southeast Asia, it's not just yoga and...
No, it's really fascinating, Bram. I learn so much every time I go. When you go into these cultures, particularly, I'll say, Myanmar, formerly Burma, the monk is everything. Mm. So the monk is really the king of the hill, even ahead of the political leaders, ahead of the police. Things don't get done without the blessing or the permission of the monk. And that can either work to your favor or to your detriment, depending on how aggressive they are in their position. And so we've seen cases where a monk who has really had a softened heart to the gospel has come to know Jesus. We heard stories of monks getting saved, which is pretty crazy because, you know, just like the other major religions, when you are a person of influence and you come to Jesus, you're giving up everything. Yeah. So you're sitting at the top of the pecking order as far as money, influence, relationship, and you literally are giving all of that up.
Now, most of the Buddhist monks I can think of that are from Asia would actually have been dedicated to that cause and given over to the monasteries at very young ages, similar to what we hear about Samuel and Eli. Those kind of biblical images of a child being given up to the Lord, in their case, it's not even a Godhead they're being given over to, but to forces. and to training. So their entire life, their entire existence has been shaped by the philosophy and the disciplines of Buddhism. Mm-hmm. By the time they leave there to become an authority, they are the philosopher, the judge, the great thinker. What other kind of roles would they have in a society like that?
They give the blessing.
Justice of the peace.
There you go. Exactly. So they'll come in, whether even marriages, whether it's key decisions that are being made, they give counsel. And sometimes when someone comes in for counsel, there's sometimes Buddhism and witchcraft kind of mixed together. So you get crazy things like, well, you have to appease the gods for this sin you participated in. You have to sacrifice a cow, or you have to sacrifice, you know, bring me, you know, 10 chickens or something like that. And then everything's good. So we saw a lot of mixed up things, literally a mixture of religions, if you will, when you put in witchcraft in there, and it really mixes people up. But at the same time, all the more that the light of the gospel is that much more the variance. When you start bringing all these different dimensions, at the end of the day, it's works. You know, you have to do this to make this God happy. And if you do that, you'll make him upset. You know, there are so many hoops that people have to jump through in other religions that when they're confronted with the truth of the gospel, it's like literally a breath of fresh air. And of course, we know it's the power of the Holy Spirit working in their heart, but it's a beautiful thing when they get free from all that junk.
And it's the great simplification, too. It's down to you and God.
Yes.
And how he wants to relate to you. Of course, it gets more complicated. We start talking about the Trinity as being something that is not just an abstract, but a reality, that Jesus himself is still with you, and his Spirit wants to inhabit you from the inside out and overflow through you.
Amen.
So they understand the wholeness of things. Now, Buddhism talks about the unity that goes from the bottom to the top, and there's all kinds of hierarchies, but there is kind of a sense of oneness.
Yes.
That if you're really good, you'll be absorbed into that oneness and that goodness of all that is eventually. But it also is a total construct that can be literally taught agnostically or atheistically. Mm-hmm. So you can be into Buddhism, especially as a Westerner stepping into it, and think of it as being non-spiritual. Mm-hmm. But it's very powerful.
Yeah.
Of course, we know, and our experience has been, that those who are deeply ingrained with Buddhism or raised in it are deeply spiritual people and are subject to spiritual forces all the time.
Yeah.
So there are kinds of spiritual battles happening constantly.
Yeah.
So and the gods do fight each other.
With the Buddhism, I mean, a lot of people think of it as the religion of peace and pacifist. And I mean, I think you can make a case if you're going to compare the three religions that are non-Christian, the majority of religions, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism, that of the three, you'd probably find more of a peace.
More likely to be
loving,
peaceful.
More likely. Yeah. But we also experienced, Bram, some of the harshest forms of persecution. Mm-hmm. I mean, I met a family while I was there who they became the first followers of Jesus in their village of about 400 households. And the monk was so infuriated. Again, it all goes back to the monk. So he drags them before literally the council of several hundred people to challenge them and say, you know, we understood. The rumors are you've become Christian. So they literally bring them in front of all of these people and they confronted them and they said, what are you? You're either Hindu, you're Buddhist, you're Muslim, or you're Christian. And this young lady, she was the first one to become a follower of Jesus. Her response was, we follow the living God. And before she could say God, he stopped her. Mm. And he forced her to say, I'm a Christian, which ultimately she did. Well, as a result of that, this monk mobilized a mob of people, required one person from every household to participate. And they stoned this home that these people were in for 4 hours. Now, the police got word that this stoning was going on. Their intention was to kill these people because they had defiled Buddha. And that was, you know, the monk gave them an opportunity to sort of repent and say, no, actually, we are Buddhist. But one of the beautiful aspects of this story was that the young lady, she's probably in her early 20s, she was the first one to become a Christian. And through our solar-powered audio Bible, The Treasure, she shared it with her family. And initially, her mom and dad were furious with her. But they listened to the Word of God for a month, for hours a day. And at the end of this month, the father said, you know, this is truth. And he became a follower of Jesus.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's conversation with Greg Kelly of World Mission is coming up in just a moment.
This is Cher Nelson. In the old days, beginning back, 75 years ago with Norm's father, Wilbur Nelson, things were different. Christian radio broadcasts had no funding, no church support, only the love gifts that listeners sent. They gave not to receive anything, but simply because they understood that in order to hear a broadcast they cared about, airtime had to be paid. As the years went by and so many churches began to underwrite their pastors to be on the air, and a younger generation began to listen, a shift began in giving thinking. More of a trade mentality began to grow, a what do I get for my giving attitude. And so the premium became the impetus for giving. But we've always been a pure radio broadcast, doing our own daily programming without offering edited sermons from the Sunday pulpit. And since God called us to the activist ministry of Compassion Radio, we have put every gift received from you, our listeners, into airtime and compassion projects, not into creating attractive and wonderful but expensive products to offer to you. Over our 75 years, a majority of our dedicated, faithful monthly partners have gone on to glory ahead of us. No longer can we budget knowing what is pledged each month, as most of you give sporadically. But friends, we need a core of you to be our underwriting vision team, who will pledge an amount each month so that we know what we can undertake for the Lord. We know that your daily prayer support will follow your monthly giving, and we need you. Will you step up to that challenge? Of course, we need each one of you who care for us and believe in us to give what you can, and we pray for each of you who do. Here's Frank to tell you how you can be a part of the Vision Team or to give this month.
To support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
This monk mobilized a mob of people, required one person from every household to participate, and they stoned this home that these people were in for 4 hours. Now, the police got word that this stoning was going on. Their intention was to kill these people because they had defiled Buddha, and that was, you know, the monk gave them an opportunity to sort of repent and say, no, actually, we are Buddhist. But one of the beautiful aspects of this story was that the young lady, she's probably in her early 20s, she was the first one to become a Christian. And through our solar-powered audio Bible, The Treasure, she shared it with her family, and initially her mom and dad were furious with her. Right. But they listened to the Word of God for a month, for hours a day. And at the end of this month, the father said, you know, this is truth. And he became a follower of Jesus. It was 2 days after that, Bram, that the father was in the home that the stoning began. Yeah. So this man had been a Christian for 2 days. The stoning started. All he had to do was step outside and say, you know what? Hold on. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm actually a Buddhist. But it was such a genuine transformation that they stood hovering over the small children that were in the home and endured 4 hours of stoning. Praise God, they survived. But at the end of it, these people realize, you know, that there is a true, authentic transformation that's happened with these people to endure it. And that testimony is even today vibrating throughout the entire community, and people are now, you know, seeking the Lord because of it.
I have heard that Myanmar has probably the most militant of the strains of monks, and that kind of Buddhism that inhabits that part of Southeast Asia is much more aggressive. But it has roots to go all the way back into the Himalayas. There are obviously schools that evolve around certain teachers. So all the way down from Buddha to descendants, much like Islam has. So there are literally pacifists within Islam. All we ever hear about is the militant, the Wahhabists, the Salafists that are hell-bent on ushering in the end time. Buddhism has some of those too. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you run into all kinds of these oppositions where you go. The very fact that you go, Greg, with your people and bring the Word of God into places where it's going to be vehemently opposed, but yet heard, and giving it time to soften hearts, this for me is about the best illustration of the Word does not return void.
Yeah, amen.
Like it's kind of a stoning against untruth. Yeah. You're throwing these pebbles of truth at it constantly. I never really thought about stoning as being something that incorporated all of your belongings or your abode that you're in, but I think of stoning being an attack on a person. But you're saying that the monk wanted them to denigrate and destroy all this family had.
Yeah. I think, you know, the monk is also, in a way, protecting their turf. When it's the first family, which they were, that became followers of Jesus, he wants to establish a precedent. Mm-hmm. And he wants all to see, You know, we hear about the most violent forms of that are in, you know, the town squares of Iran and Afghanistan and even North Korea. Mm-hmm. To make an example right. out of that person, they're even beheaded, right, in front of, you know, thousands of people. And that's to make a statement. And it's in the same vein that the monk was trying to protect his turf, which is why he made it not optional, but a requirement for a representative from every family to participate in right. this. Now, think about it. You may have coexisted peacefully with this family for your entire life, and now the monk is calling you out, and the intimidation factor alone demands that you participate. So here you are participating in literally trying to kill these people.
And make them complicit in a murder.
Exactly.
So it's very hard for an entire community which has contributed to an evil to say, oh, I was wrong, God is right, yeah. please forgive me. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for one individual or family to step across that line to do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So if a monk or an imam or some other kind of religious figure in a city can make everyone guilty of the same crime, he's got them.
Yes.
And therefore, we can all bury our sin. Mm-hmm. But then there becomes a big festering moral wound in a society.
Yeah,
and I think there are many cultures that are like that right now. So you probably notice when you come into cities or little towns or even little villages that there is a kind of a hovering spirit mm-hmm. of sin or hidden sin that would be an obstacle. And I'm sure that your missionaries that go into these places that carry these treasures are sensitive to those kind of spirits.
Yeah.
What do you do when you face those kind of oppositions where you know this is more than just people's misunderstanding or unknowing or ignorance? It's something more than that.
You know, a lot of times when we talk about missions and the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, so many times that becomes the exclusive sort of action word in missions. Go, go, go. And we're enthusiastic and we're well-intended. But we talk to people a lot and we say, long before Jesus said go, the action word was pray. Mm. As he came down from the mountains in Luke 10 and he looked out at the harvest field and he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Therefore, pray
to the Lord of the harvest. And so we say, hey, we're being very presumptuous to just kind of storm into a place, particularly a place where there's never been a Christian, and just think we're just going to parade in there and be ignorant to the controlling spirits in that area that we have to deal with. You know, we have to pray and we have to acknowledge and take authority, the rightful place of authority we have as followers of Jesus in areas, because those strongholds have to be broken in order for the seeds of the gospel to really find fertile soil. And, you know, it's not a mechanical step where we just say, okay, I do this, and then I do this, and then this is what happens. I mean, obviously, it's not that, right? But it's genuine, authentic praying in Jesus' name that so many places in the earth have never experienced. And these strongholds in these areas, when confronted in the power of Jesus, there's not a choice that they have. And so we need people that are, you know, spirit-led individuals that are storming these areas. But even the disciples, right? There's places in the Gospels where the disciples said, hey, Jesus, you know, nothing's happening here. Yeah. And Jesus said, for these kind, only through prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that's our example, then we have to, again, not be presumptuous, but take time and be deliberate and value the action word of prayer before we go.
So we pray for those who go.
You know,
and you talked earlier in our conversation before we started this program about how important it is to have senders.
Yes.
And it's not just people that are funding missions or sending in a check every month. We are very thankful and grateful for all those that support Compassion Radio throughout the years. But it's not even so much the checks that mean something to me. It's that I know that these people are praying that God will use their gifts to do something great. And my hope is that people that are doing great things for the Lord will be known and be able to meet the people that we bring this program to.
Yeah.
We want that to happen every single day, that people would discover new heroes of the faith. That, to me, is the greatest gift I get in this work, is knowing that people are praying not just for us, but for the people we talk to, and for the Greg Kellys of the world and World Mission, all the Orality missionaries across the planet that are bringing the Word of God for the first time to places.
Yeah.
So wrap this particular story up for me, Greg, and tell me what happened with that family. The first family in that village to accept Jesus that faced that stoning and almost lost everything.
Yeah.
What happened to them?
So the monk threatened them, and he said, if I see you again, you're dead. And so what ended up happening with this family is they're safely in the care of an area pastor who's a couple villages away, but they had to give up their home. And so now they're living with that person. We were just with them about a month ago. They're being discipled. They're being cared for. They're growing. And their faith is, they are passionate about Jesus. That's all I could say, Bram. And I think when you come into the presence of someone who has had such a genuine conversion, it's pretty inspiring. You know, you want to come alongside of them. And I'll also say this about them, because they've experienced such an authentic, powerful transformation themselves, when we give them our treasures, our solar-powered audio Bibles, you don't have to plead with them to distribute them to others. So they're some of our best distributors throughout the country. So it's great. But it doesn't happen without your listeners at Compassion Radio are such a huge part of that too, because I agree. Their role of being aware of that now gives them the opportunity to be mobilized in prayer and understanding, which maybe they didn't have before. So it's a beautiful thing how it all works together.
It is. And when God wakes you up in the morning saying, pray for this person or pray for this project, that's where I know that God is picking people's hearts and minds. Yeah. And we want more of that. We want to see the churches all across this country, all over North America, be aware like never before of the opportunities and the dangers. If there's danger and opportunity, you got a crisis.
That's right.
There's always going to be danger if something big's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And your people face those kind of dangers. Take me somewhere else across the world, Greg. Where else is God moving? What kind of stories have you heard in the past few months that really tell you you're in the right job?
Yeah. While it's very fulfilling to see the gospel go into places and just cause a transformation, I was in Indonesia just recently, which is the most populated Muslim country in the world. Mm-hmm. There you hear some of the great horror stories of persecution that are on par with any place really in the world. But God is moving. So we happen to be on the island of Bali, which is interesting because Bali is primarily a Hindu island. Well, there's I don't know, more than 10,000 islands. I think it's over 15,000 actually in Indonesia. It's primarily Muslim. Bali is actually the tourist destination, but it's also a Hindu area. And so in a place like Bali, the persecution is just as real, even though it's a Hindu area. And we met some pretty inspirational distributors of our Bibles. One gal has polio, so she walks around on her hands. Her husband was in an accident with a train. You can't make these things up. He lost his left arm, his left leg. He's got a prosthetic leg. And he hobbles around with his prosthetic leg, pushing her in a wheelchair to distribute treasures. And they are some of the most amazing church planters we have ever seen in our life.
Hold a second. I'm trying to think about your distribution network here. You just told me a story of somebody that's going to be like poster material for someone who loves Jesus and does whatever they can with what they've got. They've got literally half of their bodies. And you're saying as a team together, they're taking the treasures and actually transporting them?
She walks on her hands. Her husband pushes around with one leg in a wheelchair. And they go house to house sharing Jesus. And the beautiful thing is that when they come, they've never been denied. Like, you know, a lot of people, evangelists or missionaries, very aggressive. They're going in and people are like, nope, we're not interested. With these people, they're never refused. People are receptive. They're sharing the treasure. And yes, they are planting churches. I visited them. I visited the churches that they've planted. These are house churches scattered around Bali that this family is directly responsible, either first or second generation. And so it's amazing who God is using. I mean, you know, it's just a great example. I think all of us do this. I'm sure you have been at one time or another in your tenure where, you know what? I just don't kind of measure up. I don't have enough of this or that, or my giftings are inadequate for God to truly use me. And you're right. This is the poster child of, hey, stop it. Stop it, because God can use you no matter your state. It's us just coming to Jesus as we are with our hands open and saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. Fill me with your power, with your spirit, because that's what it's about at the end of the day. A willing heart, and God will use that.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.